This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1. I'm David Martin Davies. Recently, a report titled Ousted, the City of San Antonio's Displacement of Residents Through Code Enforcement Actions, has caused an uproar. The report by UT School of Law, Entrepreneurship, and Community Development Clinic and authored by Heather Way says the city is breaking the law by not going through due process and is aggressively using vacate and demolish orders for homes in vulnerable neighborhoods that are predominantly communities of color. The city says this report gets it wrong. And to help us understand that, we're joined by Michael Shannon, Director of Development Services for the City of San Antonio. Michael Shannon, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me, David.
Great. And also, listeners, if you got questions or comments, we do want to hear from you. Call in 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK. You could also tweet at us at TPRSource. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, or you could text us at that call-in number, 833-877-8255. So Michael Shannon, do you want to give us an overview of what you find wrong, in error, with this report?
Sure, and again, thanks for having me on. We received a copy of this report a couple weeks ago, and we've been looking at it. And overall, I think the report is incorrect, especially with some statements that we're not following, all the applicable state and local laws when it comes to, dangerous structures, especially occupied dangerous structures. You know, we have a local property maintenance and structural code, as well as state and federal law that guides us on that. And we follow that to the T. And secondly, there were some comments about not providing appropriate due process, which is just clearly, I think, incorrect and inaccurate. Due process in all that we do is really a cornerstone of code enforcement or any type of our enforcement of our building lid and safety code. So, starting there, it's just we believe it's incorrect, and we just don't agree with the opinions in the report.
Well, this is not a he said, she said kind of a thing. I mean, there's documents and procedures. And so let's kind of get into all that to figure out, like, how did they get this report, get it so wrong? Or is the city doing things that maybe need to be brought to light? So this issue about due process, do you tell me what due process to you, what is that?
Sure. I mean, due process is, when we work with any property owner or resident and we issue either a violation notice, a notice to vacate, some of them by law go through an individual hearing, whether it be through a building standards board and or municipal court. Others are appealable to those once those actions are taken. And each and every one of those actions can go to court, not only by the city's discretion or the residents or the owner's request. So every action in this report, we're specifically talking about notices to vacate or emergency demolition orders. Those are all appealable, even if they didn't go to the process, the building standards board process up front. They are appealable to those proceedings.
Now, according to this report, it says that the majority of these people who were given these orders to vacate did not get a hearing.
Correct. I think we issued several hundred notices to vacate in that 5-year period, and I think it's important to note that our city code, when our code officers, as the building code official, if we run into dangerous conditions, conditions where it's really unfit for human occupancy, unfit meaning unsafe, it's important that we try to remove those people from that dangerous condition. And, another part of the report says we don't help people or provide them assistance to get out of those situations. And that's another glaring, inaccuracy in the report, because we do spend a lot of time, energy, effort, including money, relocating people to safer situations. So you know, our code is fairly clear that we put the resident safety first. And I think, you know, those actions with or without a hearing, as followed by our codes and our laws, I think it's important to note that the safety of the residents is always the first and foremost thing.
So, for example, and I've seen homes like this, you know, the roof is sagging, the wall is falling apart, it looks bad. And so you can have a code enforcement person come and say, this house is in danger. It could collapse on the people who live here. And so we're giving these people 48 hours to get out and find some other place to live because it's too dangerous for anyone to live here. And so they don't have hearings and stuff like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because that'll be the initial step. And again, I should just reiterate, it is for the very dangerous structures, meaning it has to be, it's not just one code violation, a small inconsistency with code, a discrepancy with code. It's an unsafe or unfit for human occupancy. So the one you described where it's structurally unsound could fall over. It's unsanitary to the point where it's a, you know, a very big health violation for the residents in or around it. Electrical hazards, fire hazards, those type of things would warrant the notice to vacate. And it doesn't happen too often in terms of all of our code cases that we deal with in San Antonio, but those are the types that we're talking about. And a quick action is deemed necessary and called for in our codes. And we work to, you know, issue the notice to vacate and really try to relocate those residents to safer accommodation.
Now, according to this report, you know, the San Antonio is the most aggressive city in Texas to do this. Approximately 1,000 vacate orders and orders to demolish were issued for single-family homes, 626 of which were occupied, and that the city code enforced. This is higher than all the other cities put together. So, I mean, do you disagree with these numbers?
Yes, I disagree with the numbers you just described, and we've been looking through the report since then. We worked, I think, and gave the authors through open records request the data that we had, and it was approximately 400, not 600, notices to vacate or demolition orders for occupied structures. But, I mean, that being said, I think the important issue, again, is that, you know, this is not taken lightly at all. I mean, the safety of our residents and getting them out of unsafe conditions is really the key.
Okay. But again, so we'll get into that. I got to hit a break here really quick, but I don't want to lose this point. Will the city be putting out a report with its own numbers?
Yes. We're still working through, you know, the entirety of the report. We just got it a couple weeks ago, but we'll be certainly responding in writing where we feel, you know, some of the discrepancies are, you know, the author really didn't sit down with me as the head of the department or any of our legal team and talk about these to understand these discrepancies. So, but yes, we will be issuing some sort of written response to this shortly.
All right. I got to take this break, and I got callers on the board, and I'm going to get them on the air when we come back. And our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're talking about Ousted and getting the city of San Antonio's reaction to this report. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're speaking with Michael Shannon, Director of Development Services at the City of San Antonio. We're getting the city's response to this report, Ousted, the City of San Antonio's displacement of residents through code enforcement actions. We do want to hear from the community. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to Rick. And Rick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me. One thing I was struck about the report is the proximity of these demolitions and notice to vacates near TERS, Opportunity Zones, and what was the CHIP subsidy that was given by the city on the west and the east sides. One of them is 78207, one of the poorest zip codes in the country. It sounds like, Mr. Shannon, you're disputing the numbers, like what the author said yesterday, that only 8 of 209 people in the last 2 years were given relocation services. Or I assume that you're also going to dispute that 406 orders to vacate in single-family homes occurred this, in San Antonio, as opposed to 16 in all the other cities combined. So my question to you is, you said it was irresponsible for the conclusions made, but this seems to be targeting people that are poor. And you're saying that you're justifying this through health and safety, but then you also charge them for the demolition of the home. So do these families and communities feel safer after their home is demolished and they're vacated from their property, Mr. Shannon?
All right. Thank you for that, Rick. Michael Shannon, I don't know if you can answer that direct question, but some of the points he brought up about services that are supposed to be provided for families that are being dislocated. What about those services?
Well, and thank you, Rick, for the call-in. You know, it's a difficult situation. You know, we do, when code enforcement gets called to, or we find a dangerous structure, especially if someone's living in it, we connect them, we give them information, we connect them with, you know, city staff, try to find them city resources. Over the years, there have been hundreds of cases with hundreds of thousands of dollars of relocation assistance given to people to bring them, you know, to safer accommodations and different scenarios. So, you know, that's important to us. So I do think that the people are safer because of what we do. And again, I think it's important to note, these are not small code violations. These are, and I've been in them with my code officers, and it's unfortunate. It's a difficult situation, but it are truly unsafe and unfit for human occupancy. So, again, it's important that what we're doing is making it safer for any resident that we find in this situation.
So do you track, does the city track families that were ousted from their homes?
Well, we track these cases, you know, that we run into that are dangerous and occupied and that we work with them to get out of those homes and into, yes.
I mean, you don't, but the families, I mean, do you assign some sort of, you know, some person that would help them, a social agent of some sort?
City, yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. The city does have staff. My department, Development Services, works closely with other city departments, whether it be Neighborhood and Housing Services Department, Department of Human Services. We have caseworkers that assist and try to understand what the need specifically is. And that need may be some immediate temporary housing into a hotel, helping them find additional living quarters that are more permanent with, you know, down payment assistance, first month or two of rent, those type of things, to get them in really safer situations than they're in right then. But we do connect them with the appropriate services.
Rick brought up the point that these families are sometimes charged by the city for the demolition of that property that was once their home. Is that correct, right?
Yeah. So what will happen is on any code enforcement case where the city has to come in and abate the hazard, meaning correct the hazard, if the owner or resident cannot do that, they will get billed for that service. If they cannot pay it, it becomes a lien on that property, and it will be collected when that property is sold.
So if I have my house, code enforcement comes over, your house has fallen down, you got to move out, and we're going to bill you for bringing a bulldozer over here to knock it down. I'm already taking all the money I have. I've got to find for a new place to live. Probably that's going to be sold on the courthouse steps, and some developer is going to be able to buy it, and they're going to put up a nice, shiny new home there, right?
No, that's absolutely incorrect. So what I said was the cost of the abatement, meaning as we go through that process, and your example, if we were working with you to get you out of that hazard, out of that immediate concern, eventually, if that home had to be demolished by either an order from the Building Standards Board through that hearing. If it did and you could not do that, the city would actually demolish the home and we would put a lien on your property if you couldn't pay it. However, the city does not take that home. You still own that property. The city does not have the right to take that property from you. So it would not be sold on the steps and given to someone else. So that's a common misconception. We do hear that sometimes, that question, but let's just be clear on that. The city does not take anyone's property from them.
All right, I got callers here. Let's go to Erica. Erica, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Great. Thank you. My name is Erica. I'm actually a real estate investor, and I have been the victim of aggressive code from code enforcement, dangerous premises. I picked up a property that the seller just couldn't manage around code, and the report was actually refreshing and a long time coming. The building was originally targeted because of graffiti, and then the code enforcement officers, who are not licensed structural engineers, kind of pushed the building onto this little path of demolition. What was interesting to me in this process, and I'm blessed, unlike a lot of these property owners who do not have money, I was blessed to kind of go through the process. It did cost me quite a bit of money, but what was interesting to me was that the city does not honor owners' constitutional rights to go through this process. In going through with my lawyer, they did not recognize three independent, separate licensed structural engineering reports. And this was all just pushed through by the city attorney's office. And in respect, I won't name names. I could. At the end of the process, they fined me $15,000. When I asked, why they charged me $15,000 to keep the building, I had shown proof that I could rehabilitate it. I was told by public records that they could not give me that information. So I guess this is more a comment than a question, but I just have a question of, if someone like me has this experience, and I've heard it from other investors, that the city really doesn't, does this process when it can be rehabilitated, and they're still bypassing the process period. In the middle of this lawsuit process that I went through, I worked with San Antonio Conservation Society to help me and support me in some of this data. So I guess just the question is, if it's difficult for me, how do they expect a poor, low-income, homeowner to deal with it?
All right, Erica, thank you for the call. I do want to get another caller in right now because we're short on time. Let's go straight to Ray. Ray, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I have a question and a comment. It's unfortunate that these demolitions are taking place, and it is unfortunate some of these conditions exist. To move the conversation forward, because we can go back and forth on the numbers, but what proposals does Michael have to mitigate these owner-occupied home demolitions? The programs he talked about are way underfunded and typically unavailable to the residents of the west side and the east side. I have volunteered quite a bit to help some of these residents navigate the uh-huh. really complex BSP process that Michael has.
Okay, I'm going to get an answer from Michael because we're short on time. So Michael Shannon, are you satisfied with how things are working right now with this process? Do you think that there should be some conversation about how it can be modified? Is there some recognition that we should be doing things differently? Where are you on this?
Well, I think overall this is an important conversation, and one, while we may disagree with the author and their conclusions, demolition of any structure is really the last resort. It's a very difficult situation. So, this conversation is good. I do think, our process works and it provides a safer community for our residents. There are individual ones like your previous caller, Erica. I'm not familiar with, the one she was talking about, but I'd like to look into that because that doesn't sound like what we have done. Our code officers are trained very highly. They're licensed code officers. Yes, they're not structural engineers, but they're trained at a very high level for this because it is important. So, there is a big need out there. There's a lot of funding that has been added to the city's budget to help this problem. But again, it's an important conversation, and I'm glad we're having it.
So there is a meeting tonight, Housing Community Bond Committee. The public's invited. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center, room 001. And I hear that people are going to go there and they're going to be asking questions about this. Is this, there seems like the community is demanding more accountability on what's happening. Are y'all prepared for that?
No, absolutely. And I think as I think the city has laid out, I mean, our housing needs and our housing programs is a significant part of an issue in San Antonio, like a lot of big cities. And I know the city is trying to address that. The housing bond is one way, trying to figure out how we can, put funding to help as many people find affordable housing as possible. So we know this is part of the conversation and we'll be looking forward to that discussion.
Now the caller, this is Mike. And hey, Mike, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to talk about the housing rehabilitation program that the city has now. It's very, very small. And this new bond is a perfect opportunity to get a robust housing rehab program for low-income homeowners. And so I would just encourage all the listeners to contact. You can still do through the city website. You can still comment on this. There are groups that are hoping to put $75 million for owner-occupied home rehab, and we hope that half that bond will go towards housing rehab.
All right, let's go to Carla on the phones. Carla, we want to get you in here. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question for the city representative there. How are homeowners protected against false or malicious code complaints, and do they have access to the records after someone has made a complaint against them? And also, I wanted to know where I can get a copy of the report.
You can get a copy of the report on our website at tpr.org. We'll have a link there on the topic, on today's topic. You can get that. And to her question, Michael Shannon.
Well, and thank you, Carla, for that question. Yes, you can absolutely get access to any code enforcement record, whether it be a call-in, a proactive case, anything like that. I do let you know, like many of our code cases, they are called in anonymously. That is an option for people to call in. Some people don't feel comfortable identifying themselves, but all those records are available through the city, and we can help you get anything you need.
So what happens now, Michael? This is not going to go away. What do you want to see happening further with more conversations and people looking for those numbers that you're promising?
Sure. I think that, again, I think the next steps are us completing our analysis of the analysis we were given a couple weeks ago. And again, I've identified we disagree with several of the findings and opinions addressed. I think some of their information is clearly accurate. I'm not going to say that all of it is inaccurate, but I think the conversation is important. As someone mentioned, the housing bond and providing funding to help people not only stay in existing homes, but getting, developing new affordable housing is a critical step for our city. So, I think this conversation is going to continue for a while, and I'm looking forward to that because, as I mentioned, I think our process is working, making our city safer, but at the same time, we're always looking to improve, and we'll continue to do that.
Michael Shannon, Director of Development Services at the City of San Antonio, reacting to the report ousted. Thank you so much, Michael. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about Texas politics. Beto O'Rourke, he is in. Matthew McConaughey, he is out. What does that mean for the race for governor in Texas? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.